Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Preparing the soil. You might think, well, it's the wrong season for that. We're harvesting. But this has a spiritual application, as I'm sure you're aware. Jesus said this, and it is recorded in three different gospels in three slightly different ways. So I think it's important. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. That's Matthew's version, Luke's. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. And then from Mark's gospel, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. When I was working for Illinois Power, I'll never forget a certain thing that we watched. It was a video called Active Listening. And sometimes, all of you I know have experienced this at one time or another. You may or you may not really be listening. Listening is an active activity. It's not passive. You need to actually tune in. I'll never forget when one of my children was talking to me. And they came up. I was on the couch and I was reading a newspaper. And I was laying down. I had the paper up here. And all of a sudden, these two little hands came, took my face, and they turned it. Daddy, I'm talking to you. Well, I was listening in a passive manner. I was not practicing active listening. And then they teach you techniques to actively listen, part of which is to repeat back to a person what they've said. And then they know you've gotten it, okay? And they know you're listening. Well, listening literally is an activity that you have not succeeded unless you can apply what you have heard. And so that means to receive more and greater understanding through the application. If I listen to Celesta, she's asked me to do something, I complete that, it's pleasing in her sight. And I like to do that. And then it's pleasing in mine because I did something that somebody I love wanted me to do. Listening, though, without change or application is hearing without understanding. Maybe you heard it, but it didn't take root in any way, shape, or form, and you didn't act upon it. Real listening results in an abundance of knowledge, just as lighting a room dispels the darkness. I want you to think about that. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. And he closes that and says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Something that's interesting, all of you remember probably from school, E equals MC squared by Einstein. And that is energy equals mass times the constant squared. Well, Einstein figured out that the constant in the universe is light. It is the speed of light. That is the constant. Time is not in there, because Einstein determined time was not constant. Now that kind of blows our minds, but that is a fact. Light is the constant. And you know what God said about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also said, I am the light. God compared himself with the constant in the universe. When a room is dark and light comes into it, it cannot help but have the darkness dispelled. You have to remove the light for the darkness to return. Well, how about when we are listening? Because Christ uses this illustration right after he talks about active listening. He says, if you listen to me, you will abound in understanding. But if you don't, even the understanding you have will be taken away. I think about our culture today. I think about what we want to listen to and what we do not want to listen to. Simply put, there are people who do not want to listen to the truth. When they are presented with the truth, they say, that does not agree with my worldview, so I'm going to exit out. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to obey. And this is one of the reasons Jesus taught with parables. And in Mark we read, he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. This is from Mark chapter 4, and you may want to turn there in your Bibles. This is verses 3 through 7. Well, you've all been on a footpath. A footpath becomes very hard because it's traveled all the time. It's very hard, and when seed fell there, Christ said the birds just came and they picked up the seed and it was gone. The seed that's being scattered is the word of God, all right? Now on the shallow soil received it. So it received the seed and it took root and it grew very quickly. But then the sun was too hot. Life circumstances were bearing down. The sun was hot. As a result, the plant did not grow. Instead, it died. So it took root, but then there was persecution or something of that type, and the plant died. Soil with too many weeds allows the plant to grow, but all the nutrients have been deprived from the plant, and it can't bear fruit. That's an interesting one. So the plant grew, but didn't have any fruit. Other places in the scripture, Christ speaking says, if it doesn't bear fruit, it's to be chopped down and burned. Interesting. So it's about the soil, which is an allegory for the heart. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Mark chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. So as we look at this, we understand some hearts are not properly prepared. They're not ready to hear and accept the gospel. So sometimes when you're out personally witnessing, some people may not be prepared to receive what you are providing for them. Sometimes the scripture has said, there are times when you're casting your good intentions, your truth of the gospel before swine. They're not ready to hear it. They're not going to be accepting. Sometimes hearts are too hard. Some are too rocky. Preventing roots, that second example that Jesus gave. There was soil there, it was nice topsoil, but it didn't go very deep because it had a rocky underbed. And then the sun got too hot and it was burned up. And then there are some hearts that are simply too crowded, all the weeds. Everything in life is dragging them in different and sundry directions. They have no time to concentrate on the most important thing, that which will provide eternal life to them. Are we preparing the soil that is evident and always present when we gather together as a church body? We have a responsibility. And then this question is for all of us. How much are distractions blocking a true understanding of God's word? What about us? What about our friends? And then we see what we're up against. I think I mentioned to you, I finally found out the percentage of people who call themselves Christians in the United States that have actually read the whole word of God is 3%. That means 97% of people who call themselves Christians don't even know what the Bible says. How do they know if they're Christians or not? That's a good question. Well, when good soil is in play, there's another parable that follows in the Gospel of Mark, and it's in Mark 4, 26 through 29, and it's the parable of the growing seed. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground, night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes up through, then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Well, when you look at this parable, God is basically saying, I have planted the church. I have planted those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I am going to make sure that they grow. I've planted it. I'm going to take care of it. And I'm going to see that it grows. And I'm going to see that it bears fruit. It reminds me of another scripture. The work I've begun in you, I will be faithful to complete it. All right? The earth produces the crops on its own. God's laid the foundation. He's put the soil out there. He's planted his church. It's going to grow. He's going to ensure that that takes place. And then it talks about Christian growth. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Is that plant done growing? No, it's barely there. So it must mature. Well, how is that leaf blade going to mature? It's going to mature through faithful fellowship with other leaf blades and by studying the manual of how it's to grow. So the leaf blade comes through, and then heads of wheat are formed. So now there's a maturing process taking place. There is some fruit. And finally, the grain ripens. So the church has become full and is ready then for the harvest. And then God will come, and absolutely, God is maturing his church, and his harvest is coming. And he will harvest the saints, but the chaff will be blown away, and it will go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, let's look at working the soil. So how do we remain vibrant soil? We must be unequivocally students of God's holy word. Not only that, we must be reminded of the word of God. It's because it is alive. And the Holy Spirit uses it to teach and to change our lives. If we're listening. If we're listening, then the word can be applied, and there will be greater understanding that is given. Well, how does that happen? It happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the living word of God to teach us, to remake us, to remold us, to make us more in the image of Jesus Christ. But we need to be reminded of the word. That's why we gather together for preaching. That's why we gather together for teaching. That's why we gather together for fellowship. Because iron does sharpen iron. We are told in the word of God, meditate on it day and night. We are also told to practice what is in the word. If you are actively listening, I talked about application. We are told to practice the word. Only then will you prosper and succeed. This is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. If you want to do and prosper with the word, You better do it and practice it. Now, in our culture, these things are not popular. We stand for the biblical view of marriage, or we don't. If you look at our culture, we're falling apart. Why? Because we're no longer people of the Word of God. They don't know what it says. We are pro-life, or we aren't. We have a biblical worldview of a baby in the womb, knowing that that's going to grow to be a human being. At the moment of conception, a new life has begun that will be a human being, period. Amen. Why do we recognize that with an eagle, but we don't recognize that with a human being? It's because we are selfish people who do not want to, and for the sake of convenience, we will end that life if we feel it is more convenient for us. But that's not what the Word of God says. We either assist the poor or we don't. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10 and verses 13 through 14. We stand for justice for all, blindly, not taking into account whether they are poor or wealthy, not taking into account whether they are black or white, not taking into account whether they are Chinese or Hispanic. It doesn't matter. Human beings are human beings, and we are all due justice. As a society, we are being taught an unbiblical view that is saying, no, we have to take that child's upbringing into consideration. We have to take that child's color into consideration. We have to take that child's, whether he has been brought up in a prosperous or non-prosperous family. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you are responsible for your own actions, and the law is the law is the law. Now, if a judge or a society deems that it is appropriate to grant mercy, that's another issue. And of course, we know all about mercy, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God's grace. If we all were just judged, we're guilty. But because of Christ's sacrifice, we have been given the opportunity to become once again children of the Most High, Holy God. Because Jesus shed his own blood so that we could be redeemed. He purchased our salvation through the shedding and giving of his own life so we wouldn't have to. And then he took that blood, because there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. He took that blood and he covered each of us who accepts that salvation, so that when God looks at us, though we are sinful and there's nothing we can do about that, if we accept the free gift of God, then God sees the blood of Jesus. He sees a clean person, who is now whiter than snow. No blotch of sin because of his son. And when we stand before God, Jesus will intercede and say, Father, I know this one. And he will welcome us in. Well done, good and faithful servant. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in the city belong to me. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. This is from Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 11. And sometimes I think, we just think, well, God, I cannot do it. It's like Moses complaining before God and saying, Lord, I don't speak well. I can't go out there and do these things. And he says to Paul, don't be afraid, speak, and don't be silent. Sometimes we are just too timid. And Jesus spoke about the church at Laodicea. He didn't like tepidness. He said, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you're neither, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. God wants us to take a stand. Silence is not an option. when we are fortunate enough to live in the society that we live in, to have been blessed to have been born in the United States of America, we don't really have the option of being silent, because we are fortunate and we have been blessed to have the right to freely speak. Until they take that right away, don't give it up and utilize it. That's what we are called to do. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we need to communicate the truth. Let's look back at that parable and look at Christ's interpretation. Christ interpreted it for the disciples. Mark chapter 4, verses 14. Starting there, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. All right, so the seed is the word. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. It's really beaten down, but then only to have Satan come at once and take it away. He said the birds came along and they snatched up the seed before it could do anything. Okay, so that's one. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Well, that sounds great. That's good. They receive it with joy. Unfortunately, there's a but at verse 17. Since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Remember Christ said, but the sun is hot? What was he meaning? They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. I have a problem. I don't know if God really loves me or not. If you've talked to unbelievers, if you've talked to believers, you've heard that. Remember? The seed on the rocky soil represents those who received the message and immediately received it and were filled with joy. But then a problem comes along and it's snatched away. They die. It was too hot. The plant died from the heat of the sun. It's too much pressure, persecution, too many problems, and the plant died. Faith was gone. Verse 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. Pay attention. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. This plant got to grow, but it was worthless, other than taking up soil and some of the nutrients. But because of everything else, the weeds, as Christ put it when he told the parable, they made it be totally distracted and it bore no fruit. This is right from the Word of God. It's not a teaching you're going to hear very often because it makes you uncomfortable. As Christians, it makes you uncomfortable because this plant supposedly was a Christian, but produced no fruit. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Well, praise the Lord. And I pray that that's where we all are. That's where we are striving to become. We are striving and working to become more and more like Christ. That's where I want to be. And I want the Holy Spirit filling my life such that when my teacup, if you will, is jostled, what overflows and comes out is the Holy Spirit and not cursing and foul language and me falling apart. The only way that happens, though, is a daily devotion, a moment-by-moment devotion to the Holy Spirit, to the God of all creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all at work in our lives, and in the gift and offer of salvation. Holiness is a real thing. Holiness can keep us in the fold, and it can keep us producing fruit. You don't hear much about that anymore because we're barely holding on to the message of salvation in our society. Because people don't even want to hear that. Because they want to live life exactly the way they want to live it. And they don't care about anything else. They do not accept, and they don't want to hear about the truth of the Word of God. Yet we know there is nothing out there that is completely true except this book that I am holding in my hand. It's called the Bible. I want you to become familiar with it. It's that critical. It's that important. Your eternal life depends upon it. Why would we not want to come to great understanding of this book over everything else? It's the ultimate truth that God has provided for us in living our lives. Are we not going to take advantage of it? If any of you wants to be my follower, Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 35, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Oh, I don't know about that. I like the stuff I'm doing. I like the fact that nobody's telling me what to do. Give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus Christ said that. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, there he added it. He didn't just say for my sake. He said for the sake of the gospel. He said for the sake of the living word. He said for the sake of the good news. You will save it. Because there are so many things as human beings that we want to do that go contrary to God's holy word. But hey, if I'm a Christian and I've never read the word of God, I am not part of the 3%, I'm part of the 97%. If I'm stupid and I choose not to read God's word, well, how can he hold me accountable? Because the law is the law. Even in our laws today, it's supposed to be ignorance of the law is no excuse. Plus, Paul pointed out in the book of Romans that we are without excuse. Because God has put his evidence all over nature. So we are without excuse. And let's face it, especially in the United States, there's an average of 4 Bibles in every household. Doesn't mean they're ever opened, but they're there. Be true believers of the word, be doers of the word. That means that we apply the word of God. It means that we know what we're supposed to apply. So we study the word of God, we learn all the word of God, and then we put it into practice. As people of the body, we must seriously consider our involvement in the body's activities. This extends beyond the Sunday morning worship service. It extends to all that the church is doing actively. It extends to having fellowship opportunities with one another so we can be strengthened, such that we can handle what life is going to throw at us. When the sun gets too hot, using the parable as an example, when the weeds are crowding out all the nutritious stuff that we need, I want to go to the church. I want to go to people in the church. That is the church. And I want to know that I can get sustenance there. I want to be helped because they are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and they will be faithful in lifting me up and praying for me and helping me through whatever difficult time I'm going through, because the world, that sun's getting hot. Those weeds are growing up and I don't know how to cut them down. That's why God put us in a fellowship. And that's why his Holy Spirit is available to us if we will avail ourselves of his Spirit. It's not that we don't have hope. It's not that we don't have help. It's whether we will access the help and receive it. The church wants to help you in its spiritual, in your spiritual growth. But then it's just as important, how will you help the church in fulfilling its mission? We're not just spectators. You are not just spectators. I am just like you. I am just like you in the body. Who am I to open that word? God's precious gift to humankind. The most perfect thing that exists on this planet. Who am I to open that up and expound? It's a frightful thing. I need your prayers. I need your love. I need your help. We are one body. The body can't function with just a mouth. The body needs hands, it needs feet, it needs workers. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. There's no easy out in that statement. Well, praise God, because God is a fruitful God. He is ever living. He is always holy. He is almighty, righteous God. And he is working on making his church, his people, the same way by the empowering of his Holy Spirit. Amen.